It's Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indes, brought to you by L.A. Classic Roofing, Schwing Insurance Agency, The Quarter Tavern, Hype Minvale Grubs and Dalbor, Frank Specialty Fitness Equipment, Canewell Golf and Turf Club, Additive Solutions, Iberia Sports and Rehabilitation, Arsenal Ford, Blazer Specialties, Riddick LLC, and Action Specialties. Now, here's Coach Indes.
Let's add KK's Cafe and United Fire and Safety to that list of wonderful sponsors that keep us going right here at Bayou Sports. Boy, Turbo.
Yes?
Masters, I would have loved to have seen it be a little closer. Of course, if you look at the final tally, it looked close, but it wasn't that close.
Oh, it's not watching after the 13th hole.
But I will say this. For the first time in my golf-watching spectator fandom career, I was heavily rooting for a foreigner. And the reason I was rooting for him, I'm not sure I'm real proud of.
All right.
So it's Saturday, just finished the first round, which we'll get to, of the Jimmy Picard Memorial Golf Tournament.
Well, that's right.
And, of course, Hugh Andre has that great setup underneath the pavilion at Cane Row with several television sets. So we're all sitting around and talking about our rounds that day. And we're watching the Masters, of course.
Sure.
On one of the, seems like, a dozen TVs that are spread out around the premises. And a buddy of mine, David Wiggins, whom I thought was offering a bet, the field against Matsuyama. And Matsuyama had a 3 or 4 shot lead at the time.
Yeah.
Well, I had taken it that he was taking the field. So I said, I'll take Matsuyama. Well, Wiggy, I know you listen often, but sometimes you're out on the road. He's such an adrenaline junkie, and he loves a good bet. When I said, I'll take it, Matsuyama against the field for 50.
Okay.
And he took it.
Oh, okay.
He took it.
I hear you.
So then I started looking at my buddies. I said, gosh dog it, I'm not even going to be rooting for a foreigner. But again, look, my father was a World War II vet, okay, and I don't want to get into all that because I'm not going to throw that in as racism or anything. It's
sure.
Just that, we didn't root for many Japanese folks in the Indes household.
No, I understand that.
Okay. When you've been shot at for 4 or 5 years, see people die, whatnot, you just, okay.
Yeah, I had family members out in the Pacific.
Yeah, so you just choose not to root for those folks. Well, I mean, but Matsuyama, who you can tell is just a wonderful human being. I mean, he's a great guy.
Sure.
So I was all in yesterday for Matsuyama. So this guy is cruising. When I say he's cruising.
Yeah, he's cruising.
But then all of a sudden, Xander Schauffele, he just starts making birdie after birdie after birdie.
Playing with him. Wasn't he playing with him?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, so that was surprising.
Well, then cuts it to 2, gets up to 16, and just chunks one in the water. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Because on 16 on the Sunday pin, you typically play it a little out to the right and
That's
let
right.
the ball funnel down to the hole. And I guess he just decided, I'm going right at the flag. You don't give yourself any room for error.
Kaplunk.
But moving backwards, on 15, Matsuyama opens up
That's
the door.
Right. They did.
By
they
going did. For it on 15.
I'd kind of turned it off by then. I thought he was over with.
Just blows it over the green into 16, and then honestly makes a great bogey after that. Because if you chip the ball and fly from behind 15 green and you fly it to the green, you're going to knock it in 15 pond.
Yeah, in Rage Creek. You're
yes.
right.
So it goes to show you that even though these guys are that good, they are still prone to make some bonehead mistakes.
It's amazing how, you know, I mean, these guys, it's amazing how they can, you know, I mean, pinpoint things. And yet you see them, some of those drives just, I mean, in the woods, I mean, kind of surprised me because, you know, these guys are the best.
Oh, yeah. And the other thing is it slightly taken up from Matsuyama? If you lay up on 15, that third shot is no bargain. It is a downhill tight lie.
Yep.
Hitting into a slither of a green with water in front, water in back.
That's right.
So that's why a lot of folks do go for it. But he just smoked whatever club that he hit.
Did he?
And it catches the downslope. I'm assuming he didn't think he could fly it over the green. Because if you airmail it over the green, it's going. It's going to that back lake in the 16 pond. But just some post-tournament thoughts. First of all, no amateur makes the cut, which takes a little bit away. That is, Bobby Jones was the consummate amateur for most of his career, if not all.
All of his career.
Yeah, all of his career. And so, in a very atypical fashion, the Masters in Butler Cabin, the low am gets, I don't want to say nearly the same fanfare as the winner, but I mean he's in there.
Yeah,
the low am is in there with the winner. When
I'm trying
done.
To remember, is he invited back or does he need to win again the following year? I can't recall.
That's a good question. But so no low amateur in Butler Cabin, which is just such a great tradition. When things are over. So you got Schauffele just blew me away with the horrible shot on 16, which he. It goes to show you some guys just refuse to admit that they kind of choked, because he admitted, oh, no, I hit a good shot. It just he started throwing in the wind and what. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you hit a fat 8-iron.
Yep.
Okay, and it went in the water.
That's pretty much what happened.
All right.
Kaplunk.
Zalatoris, man.
I ended up pulling for him.
Oh, yeah. No, I would have no doubt been pulling for that guy if I didn't have 50 on the line.
I understand that.
Okay. I'm all over Zalatoris. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But his putter just kind of failed him down the stretch.
It did. Boy, it's such a little guy, man. Man.
They said 27-inch waist.
Yeah, so, I mean, little bitty guy. Did he weigh 135 pounds?
Oh, my goodness, and can just pound it.
I mean, he was hitting 300-plus.
But this guy looks like he could be around for a while. Now, if you're a golf fan, that is so speculative, because the game of golf can leave you. It can come back. Speaking of, Jordan Spieth, he's back. I think he's officially back. So he wins last week, and he backs it up with a great finish.
Yeah, he finished third.
Yep. So you got to say he's back. John Rahm evidently loves the course, and he's a guy. He has been a constant over the last few years. He goes 72, 72, 72. I believe he shot 66 yesterday.
Yes. And missed a couple putts,
yeah.
Too.
But, and, you know, he hits the high fade like Jack. He's built like Jack. His game sets up really well for the golf course, and he's a good putter. Patrick Reed, another one. Love him, hate him. Whatever you want, but the guy putts extremely well, and he loves the course, and he was right there. I was happy to see Finau come back. He was my pre-tournament pick. My best pick relative to the odds, 35-1, finishes 10th. Three other gentlemen that seemed to like the golf course, and I want to remember this because I'm going to get in a Masters pool next year, because there are certain guys that aren't guys that you always necessarily think of that just play this course well. Schauffele is definitely one of them.
That's right.
Rahm, Reed, Finau, Webb Simpson, right there in the top 10. Cameron Smith and Siwoo Kim. These guys never really contended, but they're right there. And they're getting you points in that Masters pool if you're in one.
And old man Stuart Sink was hanging around.
No doubt. No doubt. And missed a pretty easy eagle putt on 15.
Yeah, he did.
That really could have thrown him up there. He looks great. I mean, he's 52?
I don't know if he's quite that old, but he's up there.
Yeah, he looks great.
If he'd have won, he'd have been older than Nicholas, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Now, Nicholas, 46.
Yes.
Disappointments. Guys that just didn't get it done, didn't make the cut. So you got the number one player in the world, Dustin Johnson, at +5. You got Jason Day, who I don't know. It seems like he's had some health problems and whatnot. He's +9. Patrick Cantlay, a lot of people, pre-tournament favorite, +8. McIlroy.
Yeah.
Huge disappointment.
Yeah.
This guy just, well, he comes out to shoot thinking, you think this guy could be the next Tiger. It goes to show you how hard it is to be the next Tiger.
That's right.
plus six. Koepka, knee injury. Got to cut him some slack, plus five. And Lee Westwood, who had come in just with a lot of fanfare, had been playing real, real well as of late.
Koepka, too, is another one that comes to mind.
Oh, I just said Koepka.
Oh, I missed him. I was looking at the list.
Yeah, Koepka, like I said, knee injury with him. But
a lot of old winners, too, didn't make the cut, like Larry Mize. Oh, yeah.
Mize was – I think Mize was
– Ian Woosman.
He was plus 18 the last – well, those guys can't. They just –
yeah.
And
– Bernard Langer was in there.
There are – I think there's two arguments to having those guys back. The tradition of the Masters is so important. And – you can say, well, those guys are taking the place of somebody that actually has a chance of possibly winning the golf tournament. But the Masters is different. You will always have your people with a very good argument that the Masters is not the greatest major because it is not an open tournament.
True.
The U.S. Open and the British Open are open tournaments. That's you can right. openly qualify for those golf tournaments.
That is correct.
So there is that argument. The other argument is that these other that all the other tournaments play different golf courses, different tests. But yeah. I think that's what makes the Masters special because it is on this hallowed ground of golf that the members and the chairman and
the
folks that run Augusta, they make sure that the tournament, that the course never becomes obsolete. They do whatever they have to do. They buy extra property. They're going to do whatever they have to do with the greens. They're going to make it a challenge. And look, I always say one of the truths, you really shouldn't see guys like last November where Dustin Johnson shot 20 under to win the Masters. You don't want to see that. You don't want to see that at a major. At least I don't.
No.
And that happened, of course, because it wasn't – you have to grow winter grass in November. So the greens aren't going to be as fast. It's going to be a little different. So,
well, they usually shut the club down after the Masters,
absolutely, for several months.
That's right.
The greens putting the way they were was the true defense of the golf course.
I was surprised at some of the brown spots in the greens.
Yeah, but
television cameras brought that out.
But they have had to get past that aesthetics issue to say, if they're going to blow this golf course up, if we don't bake the greens.
Yeah.
They've got to bake the greens. That's the defense of the golf course. You could tell, I think it was on 10. I'm pretty certain it was on 10. That was the beginning of the end for Zalatoris.
Yes.
And look, it looks to the average golf fan that he hits a pretty good shot on 10. Nope, he's above the hole. It's a putt that is very difficult to two-putt, and he three-putted it.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of the end for him. He's got a putt that he's got to play dead sideways, tries to leg it up there, and he's still got 7-8 feet coming back. If you don't leave the ball on certain spots of the green, you're better off of the green.
Yeah, the putt I remember most on 10 is Ben Crenshaw years ago.
Yep.
When he sank that 65-foot putt or whatever it was at that time. Unbelievable. I was in 84, I think. 84.
Yeah, so I don't – you don't hold it against – I really would love for Matsuyama to learn a little bit of English. So after the – you know, in Butler Cabin.
I heard him say thank you.
Yeah. It was funny because at first I thought it was going to be the worst interview ever. Jim Nance asks – him and the interpreter.
Yeah,
this long question, how do you feel? You want, look, as a guy who has become an interviewer, you don't want one, two-word answers. You want people to expound upon a question. And the answer to the first question was, he's really happy. I'm like, okay, come on, Hideki.
I'd like to hear some of those conversations between he and his caddy.
Now, frequently on the back nine, Jim Nance would refer to the Japanese announcers.
Yes, yes. I heard some of that.
Announcing their play-by-play, if you will, of Matsuyama's round. That was some good stuff.
Yeah, it was.
Because the Japanese language is so different. It's, I don't know. When I hear Italian, if I hear German, if I hear French, it just kind of makes sense to you. There's some like words. Maybe it's all a derivative of the Latin language that there's, I don't know.
There's some similarities between those three
languages. Well, you can pick up some things. But
even German.
Yeah. But when you start hearing Japanese, you start hearing Mandarin, different languages, the Asian culture of languages, it is so different.
That's right.
It gives you a little chuckle.
Their writing's even different, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Backwards.
Yes, they go right to left. It was fun. And what this guy does. So think of some of the greatest icons of all time in American sports. We talk about Babe Ruth. We talk about... People need to realize in Japan, this guy just became Babe Ruth.
Oh, yeah.
He's the first Japanese golfer to ever win the Masters.
Or majors.
Or major. Y.E. Yang, South Korean, Asian, won a major. All right. Which was huge for the Asian culture. But this guy, first Japanese. I mean, you go back, Asao Aoki, I believe was Japanese. We'll check that.
Yeah, I think he was.
Came close, gave Jack and Watson and all those guys. He was the guy that he putted with the heel of the putter, with the toe of the putter straight up in the air. Great player. But this guy now, he is a rock star.
He is. Oh, yeah.
He'll Japan.
Watch if he doesn't get a ticker tape parade wherever the main drag is in Tokyo.
I'm telling you. This is huge.
Oh, yes.
For the island of Japan.
Yes. Very much so. Like Sadaraya Oh, who was the big baseball player.
Correct.
Back in
home
the
run hitter.
60s, kick 70s, that left. 80s. That's right.
Yeah, he had that left knee way up in the air.
That's right.
Yep. So.
And what was the guy that was going to fight Muhammad Ali?
Oh, yeah.
On his back.
Yeah. I mean, when you think of Yao Ming in China.
Yeah.
Okay, who was, such a celebrity. But. No, so I'm happy for Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah,
growing
sure.
up, World War II, we're a good ways away from it now. If it's 75 years.
Yeah, he's not quite 30 years old, so 29.
Yeah,
so,
those generations are going. And
born in 90, I guess, 91, somewhere in there.
Yep. But I do want to on the air say, hey, Roy boy, my dad, hopefully, you were up there watching, and sorry, Pop, I sold out for $50. I sold out for $50, Pop. Now,
the $64,000 question, did you collect?
Oh, not yet.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you, my boy, he's...
All right.
No, okay. He's good for it.
Well, it's public now.
Yeah, just like...
It's public.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, on our Kane Row group text, I sent a little waving House of the Rising Sun flag.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. I hear
sent you. That out like, yes. So, yeah, I sold out, but
that's all right.
I've done worse, and I guess I'll do worse.
I understand.
With that being said, we're going to come back. We're going to finish up as we approach the draft. April 29th for a couple of days after that, so through May 1st. I've still got 2, 4, 6, 8. I got about 15 quarterbacks to go that we were discussing. So we'll go back at the ones we discussed. I was rating those guys on a scale of 1 to 10. Got a few interesting ones coming up that we'll talk about in the next segment. We will give the winners of the Jimmy Picard Memorial Golf Tournament, talk a little bit about that, a little baseball coming up. And, of course, number 15, we're really getting up there.
Cans, that's right.
Yeah, we're getting up there. So we will be right back right here at Kane1240.com. Just ask Alexa. Play Kane1240. We'll be right back.
If you need physical therapy, choose Iberia Sports and Rehabilitation. Our licensed staff is trained at the highest level to provide a customized treatment plan to give you the best results for pain-free living. Iberia Sports and Rehab has the area's only indoor heated therapy pool and Class 4 laser device, which assists the body to heal itself naturally. To get better, go to Iberia Sports and Rehab in New Iberia, keeping Acadiana strong and healthy. Visit isrehab.com.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
We at Hike Menville Grubbs in Dalbor are happy to sponsor Coach Brent Indes and the Bayou Sports Show. We have recently changed our name from Hike Menville and Grubbs by adding J.P. Dalbor's name to our marquee. For all your legal needs, choose your hometown law firm, Hike Menville Grubbs in Dalbor. See us at 1017 East Dale Street or call 365-5486.
Do you have a logo? Do you have a brand? That is where Action Specialties comes in. If you want to get your brand out there, you need to call Action Specialties. Leaders in the promotional and advertising industry, they can help you get your logo seen everywhere you need it, from signs, decals, t-shirts, uniforms, and more. They can do that. Action Specialties has been proudly assisting their customers for 27 years with first-class customer service and a dedicated sales team to help you find what you need and what you didn't even know was out there. Action Specialties, we can do that.
Nowadays, none of us can be without adequate insurance coverage, but we still want to be sure we're getting the best value for the money. That's why so many people call the Schwing Insurance Agency to get a quote. The Schwing family has been handling the insurance needs of businesses and homeowners for almost 80 years. You can depend on Schwing Insurance to find the coverage you need at the best price. So before you buy a new policy or renew an existing one, call the Schwing Insurance Agency for a quote at 365-2357. Schwing Insurance, 300 East Main, across from the Shadows.
Additive Solutions LLC is protecting frontline workers in the fight against COVID-19. Additive Solutions supplies custom safety shields, air purification, and steam sanitation. Our custom glass installs quickly and is extremely easy to clean, and our industrial purifiers restore your space with the freshest air possible. We will steam sanitize and hand clean all high traffic areas in your facility. Please visit Additive Solutions LLC or call Jace Dugai at 337-577-4858.
We're making it easy at Arsenal Ford this month. What month is it?
It's truck month.
Take $13,000 off the last 2020 F-150s in stock.
Because it's truck month.
We make it easy at Arsenal Ford.
It's spring cleaning time. Let Frank Specialty Fitness Equipment not only provide you with new sales, but also all of your service needs. Extend the life of your fitness equipment, including home gyms and cardio equipment. Give Frank a call at 337-316-1231 or visit frankspecialtyfitnessequipment.com. Frank Burbank is a New Iberia native who has been servicing South Louisiana with top fitness equipment for nearly 40 years. That's Frank Specialty Fitness Equipment, 337-316-1231.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indest on the all-new Kane 107.5.
Welcome back, Bayou Sports, on this beautiful Monday morning. Looks like next couple of days might be a little iffy relative to weather. But
yeah, it sure looks like it right now.
Yeah, enjoy this one today. Nothing like a sunny April and May day in South Louisiana.
Those April showers bring the May flowers,
that's
though.
That's it.
And we're not talking about the moving van people either.
So we've gone through over half of the NFL quarterbacks, throwing out numbers, talking about them. Patrick Mahomes being the benchmark 9 out of 10 that I've rated. Lamar Jackson at 8. You know, we've gone with Rodgers at an 8. Wilson is an 8. Brady is an 8. Had to throw Herbert out there with the Chargers as an 8. You know, and again, all those, if you're splitting hairs, one could be a 7.9, another one an 8.1. The 7.5s were guys like Allen with the Bills, who's, man, he's getting there. Boy.
He's on the cusp, you're right.
Went as high with Dak Prescott as a 7. I'm not sure if I have a lot of conviction with that statement.
Well, I wonder how that injury is going to play out, too.
Yep. But, boy, it ain't like it used to be, man. They come back so
yeah,
much
they do,
now.
But still, I mean, that was a horrific injury. He and the Smith a few years ago with the Redskins, you know. I mean, those injuries, ask Joe Theismann.
Yeah. So the rest, and actually I gave one away because I hadn't done Herbert yet. Herbert was one I was supposed to save for today.
He was a rookie out of Oregon. Oregon, yes.
Yes. So we're going to start with Cam Newton. I do realize at one time this guy probably was a 7.5 or an 8, but now I got him as a 5. I think without the run aspect, I think he is a true dual threat guy. He is a dual threat. He is not an elusive guy. I think of Patrick Mahomes as an elusive guy. He's not a dual threat guy. He's not going to have the designed runs, the run reads, the option plays that a true dual threat quarterback, which is Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is the consummate dual threat quarterback. He's the benchmark. Newton is not a pure sit back there and read it guy. He's just not. So until he can prove it, we'll see. Second year with the Patriots, if he can get things done.
Yeah, I think he signed another 1-year deal, if my memory serves me right.
Now, this is a guy that I think is probably higher than most. I think that Matt Stafford's a heck of a quarterback.
I do, too. I think he was just with a poor organization.
I've got him at 7.5. And honestly, I think he could be an 8. He could be up in that. I know quarterbacks are supposed to elevate a team. I think he did elevate his team with the Lions. Yeah. I just think that it's a bad organization, like you said.
We'll see how he does with the Rams and his coach. I think that's going to be a telling year for him.
No, it's going to be very interesting, and we can revisit this. Of course, the blockbuster Goff Stafford trade.
Yeah, interesting.
Goff, who 2 years, 3 years ago was thought of as a future Hall of Famer type guy.
That's right.
Then last year, still pretty good. And then 2 years ago. And then this year, just didn't have a good year.
Matty Ryan kind of reminds me of Goff and vice versa. Yep. You know, those type quarterbacks.
Yep. Another guy that I think has a great future in the NFL if his organization builds around him, and that's Daniel Jones with the Giants. I've got him at 6.5. I think he's a player.
Yeah, he was pretty good quarterback in college at Duke.
Yep.
He really was.
Very controversial. He was picked over Haskins.
That's right.
There were a lot of accusations thrown out there at the Giants that I'm not going to get into. But if anybody hadn't figured out that Daniel Jones is a better quarterback than Haskins, then they don't know football. I mean, Haskins has been a complete bust. With Daniel Jones showing great promise. But again, so the running back gets hurt, Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, he's the anchor of that team, though.
And if they can continue to build around him, I do believe that he's a future 7 or an 8 in the NFL.
Yes.
Locke out of Missouri, I got him as a 5. I got old Fitzmagic as a 6. I just love him. I love his presence in the locker room.
He's got to be pushing 40 now, too, doesn't
he? Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
he's been around. He beat the Saints 1 year with was he with Tampa? Yeah. A couple of years ago?
He is with Miami now.
Yeah, he's bounced around four or five,
old Minshew with the Jags. He won't be back as a starter. The Jags are going to get Trevor Lawrence. He's a 4. Herbert, I mentioned, is an 8. Trubisky, we had talked about a few days ago when Jeff was on here. He's a 6. I got Haskins as a 4. Darnold is one I've got as a 5, but I do believe that he's better than that.
I tend to agree with you. He shined at USC, but, man, with the Jets.
Bad organization.
Yeah, just the Jets. And
they need to fix things.
J-E-T-S Jets.
Garoppolo, a guy that 2 years ago, he's in the Super Bowl, but people are questioning now if he's the future. Got him as a 6. I had him at a 6.5, but then I put Goff behind him right there as a 6.5. And I just feel like Goff is better than Garoppolo. So I couldn't put him the same.
Yeah, it's something I want to tell you. It's a term used in baseball all the time, but I've never heard it used in pro football or college. At college, of course, it's only 2, 3, 4 year, whatever. He had a career year. Yeah. In other words, in baseball, you know, you hit 340, he knocked in 110 runs, 38 home runs.
Career year.
He never approached those ever again and never will approach them again. But and some of these quarterbacks have career years. They the light goes on, they do well that year. Everything works.
Football is such an evolving game. Sometimes an offensive coordinator, or it could be a defensive coordinator, they just find something that the opposition has a hard time dealing with. San Francisco in the Super Bowl 2 years ago were very Kansas City Chief-esque relative to motion, orbit motion, RPOs, all and they were doing things that the NFL defensive coaches hadn't quite caught up with. It happens often in the NFL. The offense starts doing some things that the defense can't quite handle. The huge, especially in college, but it's coming to the NFL, the huge, well, Nick Saban hates it, although they're doing it at Alabama because he says if everybody's going to cheat, we're going to cheat. The RPO, the offensive linemen, we've discussed it. They are allowed, they are working up the field. And the linebacker cannot differentiate between run and pass. And it's just, you know, it's a huge deal. That play in the NFL is every bit as controversial and important as the golf ball in golf. Okay? Should it be dumbed down to where it can't go as far? Of course, we've seen in baseball that the balls have been changed relative to how far people are hitting them.
Yeah.
In college baseball, the aluminum bats were changed. When LSU and Gorilla Ball in the early 90s, I mean, every fly ball they hit was going out of the park.
Yeah. I think you're about the team who had a bat hit a home run.
Yeah. Well, and of course, it becomes a safety issue for the pitcher.
Yeah.
Can the pitcher react quickly?
Third baseman, too.
Yes. Right there on the hot corner. So, yeah, and again, going back, I digress a little bit. Garoppolo was a part of that system, and we'll see how that evolves in the NFL.
Technicality here, Coach. Mm-hmm. And I'm ignorant of the fact. If I got an RPO game plan designed – and run pass option for you people who don't know what RPO is. Anyway, and how far can my offensive lineman go from the line of scrimmage?
Technically 2 yards.
Okay. All right.
2 yards. But it's such.
That's right. It's a fine line.
Oh, man. There's such a fine line, man. It is such a fine line. Of course it's something that you can't say, oh, we're gonna look at it from the booth. No, right. then every play you'd be doing it.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
So, again, it's if you talk to a defensive coach, it's cheating. It's flat-out cheating. Looks like we got a caller.
Yeah, let's see if we can get him on the line.
Hey, you're on the air with Bayou Sports.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Boxcar. How you
What's
doing,
up, Boxcar?
Hey, real quick, I just want to ask you if you can think of, and I know I love the football talk, and I'm not a huge baseball fan until the playoffs, but can you think of another sport where there's such a big disparity in equipment between the collegiate and the professional levels? And I'm specifically talking about the bat. You know, I mean, an aluminum bat and wooden bat are tremendously different, and I know it's for economics and with broken bats and having to replace them and whatnot, but don't you think that there should be some kind of, I mean, how can you tell if a kid's going to transition really well, except for, I guess, some of the fall ball they play and all that stuff, but I just wanted your opinion on whether you thought that there should be, you know, wooden bats in college baseball.
I totally agree. No, I think it should be uniform. I think it should be uniform all the way down. I'm an old school guy, the answer to your question about the transition is minor league ball. That's where they figure it out. Because, of course, baseball is the only, relatively the only sport that has a true farm system.
Right.
You know, it is a true farm system to where it's not very often that a guy just comes straight out and they throw him in the bigs. But, no, I agree. I know Americans love offense and they love runs scored and all these things, and that's one of the biggest knocks on soccer is how can you get into a game where a huge offensive game was 4-3. But no, I'm with you. Do you concur? I mean, I think so.
No, I definitely think so. And I had posed that question to a baseball expert, so to speak, and their opinion was that just a lot of the colleges wouldn't be able to afford the cost of replacing that many broken bats. You know, an aluminum bat, will last you the whole season. And
I never thought about it that way. From an economic standpoint, yeah.
From the small colleges, so I don't know. But I think I just couldn't think of another sport, where it'd be like playing with a dumbed-down golf ball, on the pro tour, and as opposed to collegiate, whatever, I know the collegiate football is striped differently than the pro football.
Yeah, but it's pretty much the same. Yeah, it's pretty much the
same, And I just couldn't think the soccer's the same, everything else. So, I just always sticks out to me when I see that difference. And I mean, just like UL hitting 7 home runs Saturday night or Sunday, whatever it was, afternoon, and losing the ball game, 7, but that's 7 home runs in a game. And that's I get it.
When you think about it, I always say sometimes when you're trying to make an argument. You say, okay, if an alien who had never seen baseball before came down and they watched a football game and they watched a basketball game and then they watched a soccer game, all on these uniform fields, and then they went and started watching baseball, and wait, center field here is 400 and over here it's 420 and over here it's 380.
Yeah.
Wasn't it at Enron? Didn't they have like the flagpole in the field of play at one time?
In Enron, yeah, they sure did.
At Minute Maid Park?
Yeah. Minute Maid, yeah.
It was Enron at the time.
Yeah. First, when I took my kids there, and when I sat down, I was like, the last time I've been to a pro game was at the old Astrodome, and I'm looking at this thing and kind of feel like that is just a disaster waiting to happen,
But I'm going to tell you something else. The three monuments to Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, and Miller Huggins were all in center field during the old Yankee Stadium until they covered it up. But they had the three monuments right out there.
Let's face it, if you're talking about records, okay, just records in general, if you're in a smaller park or a park where the wind typically, the prevailing wind blows out as opposed to in.
Yeah.
So, you can also talk about quarterbacks in the NFL, though. If you were playing, Fran Tarkenton's numbers would have been different playing in Miami than it would have been playing all those years outdoors in Minnesota. So
are
always going to be variables. But, no, I like your point, and it is. And a lot of times, you know the old story about the young gal who cut off the bottom 6 inches of the pork loin when she put it in the pot, and her daughter asked her, she said, well, why do you do that? Well, because my mom did it. So she went to the grandmother and said, why do you cut off the last 6 inches? Oh, well, because my mom did it. And they go ask her, and they say, finally they get to the great-grandmother. And they say, why did you cut off the 6 inches? Because the pot was too small, so I had to cut off half of, put that on the side. So they just do it because it's always been done that way. And sometimes the powers that be need to look at it and say, are we just doing this because it was always done that way? It freaked out some football purists when the NFL went to the two-point conversion. I thought that was a fabulous rule change.
Yeah, the only thing that to me the NFL needs to figure out is their overtime rule. I still have some problems with it, but anyway,
I want to know. Wait, I'm curious. What's your suggestion? Because I definitely hated the old way. I think it's better now, but I think it could be even more better.
Coach, you're going to think I'm crazy because I know I'm in the big minority on this. I don't see what's wrong with a tie sometimes.
I get it. Teams, no, I'm with you. I'm with you.
You know, with two teams that spill their guts for 60 minutes and it's going to come down to a coin toss and somebody can drive down the field and score a touchdown and that's it. Game's over.
Yep.
You know, I mean.
No. I tell you what. I'm, I'm not sure if I agree with you, but I don't necessarily disagree with you either. Because what it does, think about the decision you got to make at an end of a game, especially if you can go for two, okay? It's that question about do you go for the – I think that brings a whole lot of strategy back into the game. And, of course, there'll be certain coaches. I mean, Tom Osborne for years was – when he went for two against Miami and didn't make it, and he could have tied the game. I'm with you. I don't disagree with that. I don't. I do understand why they don't want to do the college way because they don't want this infinitely long
right.
game to where it just keeps going, you know, where everybody just keeps getting a chance, keeps getting a chance, keeps getting a chance if you keep tying. But I'm with you. You know what? I think the more I think about it, I think you're right. I do think you're right.
I mean, it's just, that's again, that's just my opinion. I don't like to see, you know, 60 minutes of skill come down to one flip of luck.
I'm with you. I tell you what, the more I wrap my brain around it, I think I like it. For some people, they would say it's just so anti-American tie. You don't try for ties. You know, everybody hates that.
Oh, I know. It's like,
but I'm with you though. It's more pure. Yeah. It's definitely more pure. It's a purer way to end the game than with the way they're doing it right now for darn sure. I mean, it's not even close.
Yeah. All right, man. Well,
thanks for calling in, Boxcar.
Have a great day.
Okay, man. You too.
All right, bye.
Yeah, metal bats came into play in 1974 in college. So they've been around for, how's my math, 47 years.
Yeah. Definitely different. You know, there's a lot of people say that the NFL, the PGA golfers should just be playing with a different golf ball.
Yeah, how about persimmons woods instead of metal
woods? Yeah. Whoa, boy. Whoa, easy, Turbo.
Hello.
Just the one thing I'll say, one thing that's cool about golf, and one thing that allures a lot of people to golf, don't get me wrong, maybe not a 25 handicapper, but that 10 and below handicapper on a given shot with the same clubs, the same balls, can hit it just like a PGA guy.
I'm not denying that.
You know, so that's one of the cool things about it.
You see those drivers today, man, they just...
No doubt.
They're bigger than grapefruit, some of them drivers.
And of course, you got titanium involved. You've got all these light... Well, alloys.
That's kind of answering Boxcar's question. I mean, the pros, if they still had to use wooden shafts and, I mean, think about it.
Well, it was Bjorn Borg when he was up there in age. He said, I'll beat anybody in the world as long as we have to play with a wooden racket.
Yeah, that's right.
Give me my wooden racket and I'll take on whoever the younger guys were at the time, Sampras or whoever it was. Give him a wooden racket. And then let's play. Because you know what? The wooden racket, that's when the spin ball, and it wasn't a power game. It was more of a finesse game.
That's right. And I can still see Jimmy Connors with those aluminum rackets. You know?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Came out with I think it was the PDP. I don't know.
Something like that. Yeah. PBC, PBG? Yeah, maybe something like that. Yeah. Pittsburgh Power, whatever.
All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little more golf with the Jimmy Picard Memorial Tournament. Let you know the results of it, as well as we'll talk a little LSU-UL, along with some MLB and some high school baseball as well. We'll be right back right here, 367-1240.
Courtyard Tavern is the premier spot for live music. On Thursday, it's Gene and Bubba. Friday, Cajun Company Band is back. And Sunday afternoon, it's Steve Adams and his four-piece trio. 19 TVs has you covered for sports. No bar has more outdoor seating for proper social distancing. Courtyard Tavern, 910 East Main, across from McDonald's. The best drink prices in DeBary. New Iberia's happiest hours now, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from 5 to 8. And now on Thursdays, 3 to 6, with most drinks half priced during happy hour.
Folks, I'm going to let you in on the best-kept secret in New Iberia. It's called Blazing Specialties. Robert Romero daily prepares a masterpiece of Cajun-inspired delicacies such as stuffed breads, wings, boudin, crackling, as well as pre-cooked and frozen foods. Need an event catered? Look no further than Blazing Specialties to make your event unforgettable. When I bring food to a customer, it's always Blazing Specialties. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. and located at 1115 Center Street next to Freeman Plaza. Blazing Specialties. Come and get you some.
Is it time for a new roof or to repair the old one? Hi, this is Jake Blanchard with LA Classic Roofing. We're a third-generation roofing contractor that has been in the business for over 70 years. As a locally owned and operated company, we're also licensed and insured for your peace of mind. We offer free estimates and a $100 referral fee for full roof replacement. Check us out on Facebook at LA Classic Roofing. And the number to call is 465-3888. LA Classic Roofing, professional roofing solutions since the 1950s.
It's spring cleaning time. Let Frank's Specialty Fitness Equipment not only provide you with new sales, but also all of your service needs. Extend the life of your fitness equipment, including home gyms and cardio equipment. Give Frank a call at 337-316-1231 or visit frankspecialtyfitnessequipment.com. Frank Burbank is a New Iberia native who has been servicing South Louisiana with top fitness equipment for nearly 40 years. That's Frank's Specialty Fitness Equipment, 337-316-1231.
United Fire and Safety is an oil field service company that specializes in offshore maintenance. UFS has trained and reliable offshore fire watch service personnel. Hayden LeBove and his staff are always looking for skilled laborers. Please call United Fire and Safety for more information at 337-376-6814. Located at 2618 West Admiral Doyle Drive, United Fire and Safety, getting things done in the Gulf of Mexico.
We at Hike Menville Grubbs and Dalbor are happy to sponsor Coach Brent Indes and the Bayou Sports Show. We have recently changed our name from Hike Menville and Grubbs by adding J.P. Dalbor's name to our marquee. For all your legal needs, choose your hometown law firm, Hike Menville Grubbs and Dalbor. See us at 1017 East Dale Street or call 365-5486.
Do you have a logo? Do you have a brand? That is where Action Specialties comes in. If you want to get your brand out there, you need to call Action Specialties. Leaders in the promotional and advertising industry, they can help you get your logo seen everywhere you need it, from signs, decals, t-shirts, uniforms, and more. They can do that. Action Specialties has been proudly assisting their customers for 27 years with first-class customer service and a dedicated sales team to help you find what you need and what you didn't even know was out there. Action Specialties, we can do that.
We're making it easy at Arsenal Ford this month. What month is it?
It's truck month.
Take $13,000 off the last 2020 F-150s in stock. Because it's truck month.
We make it easy at Arsenal Ford.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indes. Phone lines are open to talk sports at 367-1240.
All right, we're back. Jimmy Picard. For those of you that did not know this gentleman, in my circles was just an iconic guy. Whether you played golf with him, whether you hung out and listened to country music with him, or whether you worked with him, he was a larger-than-life human being who touched people in so many different ways. Now, I'm not going to come out here and say that Jimmy wouldn't throw a zinger at you every now and then, and if Jimmy got upset with you, Jimmy wasn't going to let you know that he was upset with you. But just, he was the kind of guy when you that it's thrown on, give you the shirt off his back. I'm talking about give you the loyal guy. If you were his partner, you were his partner. Have we told the story of the fireworks that went off on the show about the firework that
that escapes me.
I'm going to go ahead and throw this story out there.
All right.
I'm going to leave some names out, not to get anybody in any trouble.
To protect the guilty is what you're telling me.
Yes. Not to protect the innocent, to protect the guilty. And I really hope that Jim Prejean is possibly listening, because he was a big – he tells this story better than I do. So one night – little shenanigans are going on in Squirrel Run Subdivision, and it was around either 4th of July or whatever. It's fireworks time that buddy of ours had an extra special firework, okay, out there behind number 8, the par 3. Goes out there and lights said firework, and the firework ended up being more of a bomb than a firework.
One?
And Jimmy, being that he is gone now, I guess I can say that he was one of those that lit said, quote unquote, firework. Actually slipped in the ditch as he was running away from it. kind of Army Marine crawled out of there to get away as it went off. I remember the next morning my father-in-law saying, did you hear what went off? He goes, my God, it shook our windows, you know, whatever. I'm like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. So fast forward to the next morning. Evidently, that was a Friday or a Saturday night because we're all on the golf course the next day. And Jim Prejean found out the story, okay, of what had happened. Well, of course, Jim, being the stirrer, I'll leave the other word out, the stirrer that he is, waits for Jimmy to come in the shop because Jim was doing some work in the shop back then. He's retired, of course. And he says, man, Jimmy, you heard about what happened to Perry's horses last night. And Jimmy says, well, what are you talking about? He said, man, well, there was some kind of bomb that went off in the neighborhood, and it stirred up Perry's horses. They jumped the fence and were hit, and they got hit by a truck on Darby Lane. Said, man, they've got an investigation going on. Jimmy immediately gets on. He goes, he started texting. Well, then the culprits involved are like, quit texting.
Evidence.
Oh, my goodness. So, and Jim let this go on for, I'm not going to say a day, but he let it go on for, I think, the balance of the morning. And poor Jimmy was shaken up. He was shaken up. We're talking about the story, the master story with the robes, you know, with the robes. And that's an iconic story right there. That is a great Cane Row story. That just amazing. But going back, so a couple of years ago, over 2 years ago, Scott Shea, I don't want to leave any names out, Larry Verrett, Kenley Jones, myself, we all get together. We want to have a golf tournament to memorialize Jimmy Picard. We have a sign up right there by the practice range where he hit many balls and always parked his golf cart right there. And so the tournament last year was a great success, had a whole bunch of teams. This year, because of all kind of things, COVID and all those things, with a month of preparation, Scott Shea does a fabulous job of getting 22 teams together. It's going to grow much huger than this. Tough time of year to host a golf tournament, so many out there, but I think Kenley had a good suggestion yesterday of the weekend we need to go to moving forward. But just a fabulous job. Scott really took this thing and ran with it when a lot of us, including myself, were very skeptical. Man, it's too late to do it. We're not going to get enough teams. Well, 22 teams is a good, solid golf tournament. And with that being said, the winners, the aforementioned Kenley Jones, birdies 18 in the best ball portion of the tournament, along with Corey Hassel, and win the tournament shooting 62 scramble the first day and 66 the next day. Jacob Friu and Chris Vietor go nuts in best ball yesterday. So they shoot 66 scramble, which is an easier format than best ball. Come back the second day and shoot 64 best ball.
That's impressive.
To win first net going away. Wasn't even close. Then pulling up the results here. First in the first flight, not the championship flight. Looks like there was a tie for Gross with Richard and Andrus, Cullen Andrus and Chris Richard. Also tied were Jason Grimsley and Wimberly, not sure his first name. Grimsley did a great job of shucking me as a partner. We were partners last year. We didn't touch the board, so evidently I'm the common denominator that's holding down Mr. Grimsley. And then second net, one of our group, Richie Byram and Jason Hebert, who shot 71-73. So congratulations to those. We will continue to have the tournament
it'll get better and better every year. And thanks to Dawn and the girls and both of Jimmy's son-in-laws played in the tournament, had a good time, and it just fun for all. And thanks to Kane Rowe and everybody who participated. And we will continue. We're going to make this thing a tournament where we will have 40-plus teams as we move forward in the post-COVID era. LSU baseball, a little comeback. They take two or three from the Kentucky Wildcats, but they're still 3-9 in conference, 20-12 overall. It seems like UL and LSU are mirroring each other with their overall records now, but not conference records. UL also 20-20, 20-12, take two of three from Arkansas State. They win 10-3, 9-0, and then lose 16-11. LSU had won 15-2, 8-6, and lost 13-4. You can always tell that third game the pitching gets diluted.
And thank goodness they're not playing four games on a weekend.
Correct, because the pitching really gets diluted. UL really.
They're starting to come around. I had a friend go to game Friday night and said they're really playing a lot better. Arrighetti.
Spencer Arrighetti.
Yeah, the pitcher's really starting to look good.
Yes, yes. When he's on the mound, they rarely lose. Major League Baseball, Stros at 6-3, tied for the top of their division with the Angels. Reds still 6-3, Dodgers 8-2. So that's. I think the Red Sox are also 6-3, so that's your leaders right now as we slowly move into baseball season. And locally, Catholic High Big District win over Delcom 12-4. Lorville beats Homa Christian after a disappointing loss to 21-3 Ascension Episcopal team. And Nish is just rolling along with a split with Sam Houston. But Sam Houston, one of the top, if not the top-rated 5A program in the state. So Coach Llewellyn and his crew doing extremely well. We will be getting those coaches and some players on the show as the playoffs start coming around very soon. Also softball as well. I know Delcom softball with a big win over Catholic High recently. Seems like they're scoring a lot of runs, and just as their coach expressed earlier, seems like they're coming around when it's time to come around. Lorville doing extremely well. Also in softball, along with Ascension. I know Josh Musso often listens to the show, and he texts in and lets us know about the Ascension Catholic High games. So we got one more little segment. We're going to come back with some sports history today.
And Kaz,
number 15. That's the one I always, because it's so easy when you go these nerve, these, you know, but the Cans always screwed me up. That one got me.
And the Catars?
Yeah. Okay, I remember. All dudes, tres, Catars. I got that one. But Cans, right. Cans screwed me up. I won't lie. Cans screwed me up. So,
all right.
We will be right back with Cans along with a couple of cool things. One of them that really struck me is interesting today in sports history. 367-1240. We'll be right back.
Is it time for a new roof or to repair the old one? Hi, this is Jake Blanchard with LA Classic Roofing. We're a third-generation roofing contractor that has been in the business for over 70 years. As a locally owned and operated company, we're also licensed and insured for your peace of mind. We offer free estimates and a $100 referral fee for full roof replacement. Check us out on Facebook at LA Classic Roofing. And the number to call is 465-3888. LA Classic Roofing, professional roofing solutions since the 1950s.
United Fire and Safety is an oil field service company that specializes in offshore maintenance. UFS has trained and reliable offshore fire watch service personnel. Hayden LeBove and his staff are always looking for skilled laborers. Please call United Fire and Safety for more information at 337-376-6814. Located at 2618 West Admiral Doyle Drive, United Fire and Safety, getting things done in the Gulf of Mexico.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Kane Rowe Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Kane Rowe. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Kane Rowe and enjoy.
Courtner Tavern is the premier spot for live music. On Thursday, it's Gene and Bubba. Friday, Cajun Company Band is back. And Sunday afternoon, it's Steve Adams and his four-piece trio. 19 TVs has you covered for sports. No bar has more outdoor seating for proper social distancing. Courtner Tavern, 910 East Main, across from McDonald's. The best drink prices in DeBary. New Iberia's happiest hours now, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from 5 to 8. And now on Thursdays, 3 to 6, with most drinks half price during happy hour.
Folks, I'm going to let you in on the best-kept secret in New Iberia. It's called Blazing Specialties. Robert Romero daily prepares a masterpiece of Cajun-inspired delicacies, such as stuffed breads, wings, boudin, crackling, as well as pre-cooked and frozen foods. Need an event catered? Look no further than Blazing Specialties to make your event unforgettable. When I bring food to a customer, it's always Blazing Specialties. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., and located at 1115 Center Street next to Freeman Plaza. Blazing Specialties. Come and get you some.
Nowadays, none of us can be without adequate insurance coverage, but we still want to be sure we're getting the best value for the money. That's why so many people call the Schwing Insurance Agency to get a quote. The Schwing family has been handling the insurance needs of businesses and homeowners for almost 80 years. You can depend on Schwing Insurance to find the coverage you need at the best price. So before you buy a new policy or renew an existing one, call the Schwing Insurance Agency for a quote at 365-2357. Schwing Insurance, 300 East Main, across from the Shadows.
Additive Solutions LLC is protecting frontline workers in the fight against COVID-19. Additive Solutions supplies custom safety shields, air purification, and steam sanitation. Our custom glass installs quickly and is extremely easy to clean, and our industrial purifiers restore your space with the freshest air possible. We will steam sanitize and hand clean all high traffic areas in your facility. Please visit Additive Solutions LLC or call Jace Dugai at 337-577-577.
Iberia Sports and Rehabilitation has been keeping Acadiana strong and healthy since 2003. We have the highest level of trained and licensed physical therapists who will customize a treatment plan to get you results. Plus, the area's only indoor heated therapy pool and Class 4 laser device. And we provide optimum care with both state-of-the-art equipment and drug-free techniques like dry needling and blood flow restriction therapy. To get better, go to Iberia Sports and Rehab in New Iberia. Visit isrehab.com.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indest on the all-new Kane 107.5.
Welcome back. Bayou Sports right here on this beautiful Monday morning right here on Main Street in New Iberia.
Canes.
Today in sports. In 1940, they changed the clipping penalty.
Really?
So, 1940 and before, if you clipped in the NFL, it was a 25-yard penalty.
Whoa!
Evidently, they didn't like you hitting people in the back.
No wonder why the scores were 7-6.
25-yard penalty.
Well, when did they change holding? Went from 15 down to 10 now. Yeah. Years ago, it was 15.
Yeah, so 25-yard. Talk about flipping a field.
Of course, they call it blocking the back today.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people think that clipping is blocking below the waist. Of course, in high school football, in most high school football, you just can't block below the waist unless you are in the box at the start of the play.
And chop blocks have kind of taken that over, too.
Yeah, well, you never can. One guy can never hit a guy. The true definition of a chop block is when one guy sets a guy up high, another guy hits him low.
Correct.
That's a big no-no in any way, shape,
but
or form.
But it's done. They say the service academies are known for that, too.
Oh, yeah. No, they come off so quick with double teams, and sometimes it's typically not planned, but it's something that happens when you're really firing off the ball in option football. 1961.
I'm ready.
Major League Baseball's owners offer General Douglas MacArthur the commissioner's job, and he turns it down.
Yeah, he was 80 or right at it.
Found that just very, very interesting. I had no clue.
Yeah, he played baseball at West Point.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Of course, he was a field general for a lot of other plays, too, over in the Pacific.
So I'm going to ask you a question. I know you, and I should have Googled this before. When was the Iran the hostage crisis?
November of 79 it started.
Okay.
And it lasted 444 days.
Okay. With the 44 hostages, was it?
It was 444 days they were in captivity. It started out, they were in the 60s, and they let a lot of the women go.
Yeah.
And it went down to, what, 52, I believe
it was? Yeah, 52. Yes, yes, that number sounds correct. Why do I bring this up? So let's go back to around that same time, a little after. The way that wrestling just really took off. With the whole Cold War, Iranian deal. So all of a sudden, you've got a gentleman born in 1942. Born in Tehran, okay? And I'm
okay.
This isn't like Nikolai Volkov. This isn't a Canadian who pretended to be Russian.
Correct.
This is a full-blooded Iranian.
All right.
Comes on the scene. The Iron Sheik.
The Iron Sheik. I think I remember that one.
You couldn't hate a guy in wrestling more.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was Iranian.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? You couldn't hate a guy more. You hated the Volkovs because they were Russian. You hated the Iron Sheik because he was Iranian. He ends up becoming a tag team partner with the Russian Nikolai Volkov.
Oh, wow.
So when I say the most hated tandem in wrestling history. Now, one thing that the Iron Sheik was, he had these, he called them Persian clubs, and he did these Persian club swings, okay? Google it, it's pretty cool. And he would challenge others to a Persian club swing match, which he rarely lost. And I do believe the one time maybe he did lose, he attacked his opponent from the back, because that's what the Iranians did back then, of course.
I hear you.
I mean, the I mean, the Ayatollah, the whole deal.
Oh, yeah,
when I say wrestling just seized.
How do you protect himself, you know, after the match is over? You walk out the place, you know?
I'm telling you.
His life was on the line. They got a lot of crazy people out there.
Later on, a little after my time, famously feuded with Hulk Hogan. But the feud that I was so into was his feud with Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Now, Hacksaw Jim Duggan saw what the Iron Sheik was doing. So now his whole shtick was come in not only with his 2x4, but with the American flag waving it. And, of course, you got the USA, USA, USA.
Were you standing on your chair at your house?
Oh, look, man, I'm going nuts. And of course, you know, the Sheik, he's cheating, he's hitting the referee from behind, knocking him out, and if he does win, it's because the referee wasn't there. He's hitting somebody with a chair from the back. I mean, we're talking about
great promotion.
Major political
implications.
Implications
right.
Going on with the National Wrestling Alliance / Mid-South Wrestling.
It can't get any better.
So the Iron Sheik's finishing move was the camel clutch, which imagine a person being on their back and then you straddle them kind of like you're riding them like a horse, except you get your knees under their armpits and you put your hands under his chin and you're basically choking them out.
Sure.
Okay. To where they can't breathe. I actually was put in the camel clutch in recess one day by my buddy rest in peace, Jamie Vietar. I thought he had killed me. We're about in the sixth grade. Put me in the camel clutch. Couldn't breathe. This stuff works, folks. I'm just telling you. The figure four, if you don't think it works, go put your buddy in a figure four. Now, what pressure were they putting on? I mean, all these things, I don't know.
Sure.
But I'm just telling you, you can break someone's shin putting them in the figure four. Later, I got to throw this one in there. We're going to finish off with this one.
All right.
Evidently, after a match with Jim Duggan, the Iron Sheik and Jim Duggan were caught in a vehicle together, pulled over. So they're hanging out. After they're hating each other, they're pulled over in a van. Down by the river, no. But they were pulled over in a van.
All right.
Jim Duggan evidently was high on marijuana, and the Iron Sheik was high on cocaine. Yes. Yes.
Oh, well.
After the match, Just you can't make stuff like this up.
Nope.
Yeah, so Jim Duggan is still 67 years old, still alive and well. And I do believe the Iron Sheik is still alive.
And where were they caught?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Was it in Lafayette?
Yeah. No. I think it was in Atlanta.
Okay.
But these guys were just iconic figures. And everybody knows, if you know me, that Hacksaw Jim Duggan's way up there on my list. Just a fun guy to watch. Just any guy whose shtick is to walk in with a 2x4. Okay, and of course earlier Boxcar a couple of days ago talked about the 2x4 and his beautiful tuxedo.
That's right. That he couldn't get blood on.
He couldn't get blood on it. Couldn't get blood on it.
I wondered if he got it back to Kearney.
I think he did. It sounded like he did. It sounded to me like he did. So with that being said, the Masters will put it to bed for the year. Next one we got coming up. I mean, Teddy, they moved it around. Is the PGA next? Because the PGA was last, but then they moved it.
PGA's in May.
Okay, so the PGA is coming up in May. Typically, the British Open is not till July.
Correct.
Yeah.
Middle of July.
Yeah, and then Father's Day weekend is typically the U.S. Open, which will be in June. Okay. So we got that coming up. We'll certainly follow those very closely.
Yeah, put a plug in for Chip Shots this evening at 5.
Absolutely. So. Chip Shots tonight at 5. Thanks for reminding me of that. Going over again the results of the Jimmy P, talking a little golf.
Yeah, I got the CHS Coaches Show right after that at 6.
Yep. So appreciate all of our listeners out there. Appreciate everybody whether it's at the golf course or at the grocery store, whatever, that you're enjoying the show. I'm glad you're having fun listening. We're having fun doing it, I promise you. On behalf of Iberia Sports and Rehab, Hike, Menville, Grubbs, and Dalbor, Schwing Insurance, Blazing Specialties, Additive Solutions, Cane Row Golf and Turf Club, the Quarter Tavern. I was there Saturday night, went to a little wedding, Christine Tronholm's birthday party. Went check a bunch of folks out there. Ty was still hanging out, having a great time. Arsenal Ford, $7,000 off of Fusion the entire month. Ran into my man Travis at the aforementioned Quarter Tavern, having a great time telling stories, telling a few lies. Frank Specialty Fitness Equipment, Action Specialties, LA Classic Roofing, the official roofing contract of Bayou Sports. Quoted, so this is a true story. My brother-in-law was quoted $20,000 for his roof to fix it. Been needing fixing for a while.
That's a lot of money.
And this was not a brother-in-law deal. I just called my buddy, goes in. When I say they beat the price, they beat it. They beat it to death. Okay? They just killed that price. KK's Cafe. We'll be talking about them a little more tomorrow. United Fire and Safety, I cannot stress this enough. United, if you want a job and you are willing to go offshore, you want to make some money, get with United Fire and Safety. They are hiring, and they want to hire a lot of folks. Grittick Electric and General Services. We will be back tomorrow with
Quatorze.
Number 14.
That is correct.
Ons, deux, tres, quatorze, quinze. There we go. Thank you, Turbo. We will be right back with the great Jeff Boggs, talking a little weather, news, music, everything that we do right here at Kane 107.5 FM. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to KANE 1240 AM and K298CQ 107.5 FM, New Iberia.
The voice of the Tesh.